I was trying to think how often, how many times a year I preach. I don't know. 52 weeks, and correct me if I'm wrong, but 52 weeks in a year, and usually 50. How many? Hundreds. Okay. Well, and I guess Wednesday night Bible study, that would maybe over 100 times a year. So I don't always remember what I share throughout the years. Sometimes I look back and say, man, did I share them before? And thank the Lord for the internet. You can hop up there on our website, type in a keyword. And some of these principles I shared back in 2014. And I'm sure you remember every point that I said back then. I don't. I was kind of looking over these verses again today. And the way my mind works is once you get it in your mind a certain way for you to understand, it kind of stays with you. So I want to just kind of comfort you from the book of John chapter 14 again this evening. I will not be lengthy tonight. I understand once again that we've got a lot going on here and going to have a busy day ahead of us tomorrow. And I just want you to be well rested. But it wasn't a wonderful tonight, the viewing, to see all the love and outpouring from all the different ones. What a blessing that was for me, and I'm sure it was for many of you as well. And let's continue to pray for Brother Glenn as well. I know he needs an extra touch and some strength, and I know God's able to help him. And we're going to be just asking God to help him, amen, and help the church as well. But John chapter 14, I'm just going to start reading, and I'll stop here in a few verses. I don't know exactly where I'm going to stop yet. I do in my mind, but I don't have it marked here in my Bible. So let's go in John 14. Verse 1, familiar passages to you. I don't have to give a lot of background here for you to understand these words. I don't feel like I would have to exhaust an introduction here or anything. We're kind of just going to get to the points because you know this message here, and I know you do. Know these verses. It says in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye have known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen me." I want you to go down to verse 16 with me, because I'm going to kind of just jump there tonight and read a few verses there. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Tonight I want to talk to you about calm words for chaotic hearts. And once again, I know in 2014 I was looking back and I shared some of these things. Don't remember if I went over everything or what I said and all that. But I just felt in my heart today these verses kind of came to life again. And I was thinking also, I've preached from these verses before I came here more than anywhere else in the Bible. I don't know what it was. Something about the book of John, especially these verses and chapters here, have always just stood out to me and blessed my heart. So tonight I want to just leave you with five words, and all of them start with the letter P. And so I don't have really a good title for this. We're just going to kind of go through these five words tonight and draw some strength and encouragement from them. And tonight we're going to pray and let you just let God help you through this message here tonight. Amen. First thing I want you to look at tonight is this. Because Jesus asked us to believe on some things here. And just for the sake of believing that everybody knows the background here, we know that Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He is about to die at Calvary. He's about to leave them in the bodily form. And he wants the disciples to be encouraged and blessed. And he wants to encourage them through these words that he speaks there. Now, you ever heard of what's called the Buford Scale, I believe it is? It's where they measure, I guess, the wind in one sense or something like that, and some of you may know what I'm talking about. But the Buford Scale, I looked on one end of that one time and was very kind of interested by this even years ago and here recently. On one end of the Buford Scale, you got you got a zero there, which means it's very calm. And on the other end of the scale, you got a 10, which is a hurricane, which means it's not calm. It is not going to be calm in Florida here in the next few days. We just know Hurricane Irma is not at the zero end of that scale. It's going to be at the number 10 because it's going to be windy. The weather's going to be bad. So when I was studying for this before and thinking about that, we have to gauge our own hearts. You know, what is the in our heart when we gauge it at times? What level is it at? Is it at a zero or 10? I am underneath the insinuation and the encouragement of Scripture that we can live with confidence in Christ, that we can keep peace in our hearts. We can be peaceful and joyous no matter what we are going through. And I believe that's been displayed even here at this church even this week. So the five words I want to leave with you tonight, the very first thing I want you to focus on in these verses is a person. I believe that's what the first thing Jesus asked us to believe in was a person. Notice what he says here in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So the amazing thing about this right now, when we are going through chaotic times, when we are going through times of struggle and tragedy and battles, the very first thing we need to understand this is that we have a person, and that person's name is Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing, once again, the amount of comfort we can gather from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Even once again, I know I use my children as an example, but who else do you use other than your children when they're giving you so many fresh examples? My daughter, it kind of every now and then, is going through this stage where she gets afraid every now and then at nighttime. Recently, she called me in there. She said, the bad man's trying to get me. And I say, well, who's the bad man? Don't have a clue she's talking about. Didn't even know she knew what a bad man was. But somewhere in life, she's come in contact that the bad man's trying to get her. And so I prayed with her. I said, all right, Chloe, let's pray. And you know, Jesus can help you. And she said, Jesus, make the bad man go away. I said, yes, Jesus, make the bad man go away. And I said, I try to get her to understand this. Jesus is in this room with you. And it's amazing. Even a 2.5-year-old can gather some comfort from those words, because she looks at Jesus and she sees us worshiping and loving him and talking about him. She knows that he's a good person. And even more in our lives as adults, it is important to be reminded that we have a person in our life, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't just real 2,000 years ago. You know, when he died on Calvary, when they put him in that tomb, that was not the end, though we talk about that a lot. But he is just as real now in 2017 as he was back then. So we still gather comfort and joy and peace in knowing this, that the personhood of Jesus Christ is just as real and tangible in this room tonight as it was for the disciples 2,000 years ago. Just as real in your home or your bedroom or your place of prayer or wherever you are in the world, the personhood of Christ is just as real as anyone. Now understand this, the people of Israel believed in one God. The Old Testament talked about it. Lord our God is one God. But this is what Jesus, the new revelation he was bringing to the disciples is this. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. We are one is what he would say in John 10 and 30. He said, I and my Father are one. So isn't it amazing when we talk about the personhood of Jesus Christ, inside of that phrase, we understand not only is the person of Christ, but the whole triune personhood is with us. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And I was telling the teenagers this morning, I cannot describe the Trinity, and I'm all right with that. Amen? I cannot exhaust the Trinity, and I'm okay with that. What I'm saying is, he's been revealed to us in three persons. This Bible, to be honest with you, is really basically a glimpse into the personhood of God. We don't see everything about him. It's kind of a mystery to us. And you know, St. Augustine said, I had to read St. Augustine's Confessions. Boy, what a read, I tell you, here recently. But he said something that caught my mind. He said, if you can describe God, he's not God. If you can describe God, he's not God. So I'm glad that when I look at the triune Godhead and the triunity and the complex unity of God, I sit back and say, all right, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and yet they're separate but yet one. But guess what? The whole Godhead is for you and present in your life. That should be an utmost encouragement that a person in the form of Jesus Christ has come to us, and what a blessing it is and what comfort we can draw from that. Second word, it starts with a P, is this. He leaves us the promise of a place. He asked the disciples to believe in a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, don't get so caught up with the mansion. Get caught up with the man, Christ Jesus. And you know, me and Brother Neff recently teaching a little bit in the book of Revelation, talking about heaven a little bit. I mean, that word mansion really has us thinking a lot, don't it? We all think we get to heaven, it's going to have a nice golden building over there with my name on it. And you know, the Bible, really, when you begin to study the language of Scripture, it's not promising you that you're going to have your own ginormous house in heaven one day. We're coming back to earth, brothers and sisters. We're not just going up to a sky just to hang out up there. And I love the hymnals that talk about the encouragement of the mansion. I don't discourage any of that. But I would have you to understand what he is saying right here. In my Father's house are many mansions. And a better translation is actually, it is many rooms, which means it is a dwelling place there. Now, my grandma Carrie, it's comical now. And I mean this completely joking. Because, you know, we've been to a funeral before, my grandma, the pastor, there was a preacher reading from a different version of the Bible, and it didn't say mansion, and it said many rooms. And man, grandma said, "I'm getting a mansion." And I said, "You may, maybe. I don't really know. Okay, I'm not arguing over that." She said, "Ain't no way he's taking my mansion from me." And, you know, and I understand that there's a blessedness about this. And I'm not trying to discourage, you know, if you think there's a man. Jack Coe, I believe, said one time, when he first got saved, I mean, he didn't know much about the Bible. He kept saying, "Man, I'm going to have a mansion over there." And a police officer stopped him one day. He said, "What's a mansion?" He said, "Well, it's got to be better than the shack I'm living in now." So I will promise you this, it's going to be better than where you are right now. It's going to be better than your bedroom and your house and all those things. This is going to be a dwelling place. And David Jeremiah shares it like this, almost like maybe the Biltmore house that has many rooms, but it's one building. Maybe more in that context. We are going to get to dwell with God Almighty. And what a blessed promise that is when we think of that place. I read this story and thought it was moving and touching. There was a family in the process of moving, and the father had to go ahead several months because of his job, and his children and wife were going to have to stay behind and come eventually a few months later. And the son looks up at the father with tears in his eyes. He does not want him to leave. He says, "Dad, please don't go." But the father makes a promise to his son. He says, "Son," he said, "listen, I know this is tough, but when I get to where I'm at," he said, "when I get to the new place there," he said, "I'm going to have your room ready, and I promise to build you a treehouse." And the boy smiled and said, "Okay, if you promise to build me a treehouse, when I get there, it's just going to be so wonderful." And that brought comfort to that son. So here, just like this, Jesus was telling his disciples, "You cannot go with me physically quite yet, but where I'm going, I am preparing something for you." Aren't you glad he's preparing something? Oh, it's a mystery, isn't it? Don't you love it? You just know it's going to be wonderful and it's going to be good. So this is what I gather from this. He says, "In my Father's house." And that is a great statement because that when I think of the Father's house and dwelling with Him and just that sense of that being our new home, we understand here today and we must remember what makes a home is not a building. It's not a structure. And what's more important than the mansion or anything else? It is the intangible things. It is the love and the relationship and the peace that is going to be there. And my, what a joyous day that it's going to be. And we know that's such a wonderful thing for us to think about. Even as we think about Sister Hilda, it's wonderful to think about it. I find joy in that tonight. I do. And I know we all do. And Goldie, isn't that something? Goldie as well. Up there together in the great heavens and just worshiping God together. And we get to be there one day too. It's a promise from our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. Number three, Jesus asked us to believe in a promise. Aren't you glad for the promises of God? "If I go and prepare a place for you," he said, "I will come again and receive you into myself. And where I am, there you may be also." Now, the Bible's loaded with promises, but this is one of my favorite, I guess you could say. Because he says this. Notice what he says here. "I will come again." He's coming again, church. I was reading this story once again. General Douglas MacArthur, during the Second World War, as defeated U.S. troops awaited reinforcements there and in a place called Bataan, I believe it was, General MacArthur visited them to encourage and lift up their spirits. And at the end of his speech, as it made the troops go up in a roar, he said these words right here. He said, "I promise I will personally return to you." Matter of fact, his generals looked over to him and said, "What? Don't say all that. Just say somebody else is going to come." He said, "No, I'm going to come back to these troops." His promise was fulfilled when he returned 4 years later And he triumphantly appeared in that part of the world to retake lost ground. He came back himself. Jesus is not sending an angel back for us. He's not sending an angel. He's going to come back for us himself. Amen. What a person he is. Number four, he asked us to believe in a plan. Notice what it says here. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest or where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas wanted a map. How many knows we like to know where we're going? Now, I understand that sometimes as a man, you know, now we got cell phones and GPSs, but when I was younger, man, my dad would not stop and ask for directions. He just wouldn't do it. Now, I know maybe nobody else has ever been guilty for that, maybe not. But, you know, they set us up here or over here, and all of a sudden we finally get to the place that he gets to the place that he has to stop somewhere and ask for directions. Thomas wants a map. He wants a global positioning system. You can't leave us. Give us a forwarding address or something, Jesus. Where are you going? I need a map. And Jesus' response to Thomas is, I am the map. I am the way. I am the global positioning system, the GPS or global positioning savior. I am the way, the truth, the life. If you follow me and my word and my truth, you will come to where I am. What a promise. What a plan. It's just like one of us going up to a gas station, I guess, and asking the clerk, man, I'm lost. Yeah. Has this ever happened to you? And the clerk will say, oh, all you need, now especially in North Carolina, you know, they talk fast. And if you go up there on this street and you take a left at the third light and then you take a right by that hotel and there's a McDonald's up there and then the Piggly Wiggly and you're sitting there and by the time you get to the car, you don't remember nothing but stoplights left, right, and the Piggly Wiggly. Now, you'd get confused, wouldn't you? Now, what if you went up to a gas station and you told the clerk, so look, man, I'm lost. What if the clerk looked at you and said, you know what, I'm about to get off work. Just follow me. That's what Christ did. I'm not leaving you without a map. I am the map. I am the very coordinates in which you need. If you want to make it to heaven, look to Christ. If you want the forwarding address, look to Jesus. He is the address. He's everything. He is the way. He's the truth, and he's the life. He not only left us a person and a promise, and not only left us a place, but he also left us a plan. But the last phrase I'm going to leave with you tonight is this. He left us a presence in which we can live in. That's what I read to you from in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Notice here as he says the Savior's promised prayer, and I will pray that the Father, he shall give you another comforter. Did Jesus do that already? Didn't he do that? He went to the right hand of the Father, right? Book of Acts. He poured it out on us, didn't he? A few weeks ago, we talked about the promise of the Father and how it was a prayer. It was a gift from the Father to the Son. He pours it out upon us. We have this presence that is in our life. He's already given this to us, which is a blessing thing right now. But notice what he goes on to say in the rest of the part of 16. And another, he said, I'll send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Once again, the Greek word for comforter is much like this morning. It's rendered to be an advocate is what it means there. The word means one who comes along beside you. Like we talked about this morning, I gave you a brief example, who gives you strength. He doesn't just give you sympathy. He gives you strength. And that's what the Holy Ghost does to us. He not only comes to life, but he undergirds us and helps us. My, have you ever been to the place where you needed him to help you? Every day, all the time. Amen. So notice here, this is the amazing phrase about this. He will abide. That word abiding there means like pitching a tent. Living within you. Abiding when you get born again. Now we're not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost here. But we do believe when you get born again and regenerated, the Holy Spirit comes in your life and he now takes up residence in you. And guess what? He will abide with you for how long? What's the expiration date? Forever. And when I say forever, that's as long as you allow him to live there. That means I have this promise and you have this promise. That no matter how old you are, what you go through, what sickness you may go through, what tragedy may take place in your life, He's still there. I've had a privilege of being on a few different continents in this world. I have found Him just as rich in Africa as I do here in America. And at times I felt even richer in certain services. I found Him this year. I found Him to be rich in Haiti as well as I do right here in Hampton, Virginia. He is rich. He is an abiding presence. Now notice this right here. The Lord uses this phrase right here. The Father, He says this early on, the Father dwelleth in me and He doeth the work. So notice here, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He comes into our life and He abides within us. So we have these five words. They all start with the letter P. And this is all I'm going to leave you with tonight. I realize a lot going on. But tonight I want to leave you with these five words. He's given us a person, a place, a promise, a plan, and a presence. I'm going to say it again. He's given us a person, which is Jesus Christ. He's given us a place, which is going to be a dwelling place with Him. He's given us a promise, which means I'm coming back for you. He's given us a plan. He says, I am the way. But He's given us a presence, which is the Holy Ghost. And all five of those things right there, if you listen to those and take them to your heart, doesn't matter what you're going through, you're going to make it. Amen. God's good to us. And we never know what we will face. I've often told my wife, I realize that I'm 30 years old this year. Not old. Old to me, not old to some of you. But I realize if the Lord allows me to live, there's a lot of life out in front of me. If God tarries and allows me to live, I don't know what I'll face. I don't know. You don't know what you will face. Life has changes. But oh, we have a person. We have a place. We have a promise. We have a plan. And we have a presence. Stand to your feet this evening. Amen. I told you I wasn't going to be long. And I actually have one closing tonight. So look, praise the Lord. That's a small gift to you. But I realize that I'm probably tired in body a little bit today. And I'm not going to hold you long. We're going to pray and ask God for His strength and blessings on this church. We have a long day ahead of us tomorrow for many of us. God's going to give you strength. We're going to make it. Amen. But I appreciate the presence of a living Christ in this room. Don't you? I mean, He's here with us, church. He's going to go home with us tonight. He's going to be there when you wake up in the morning. You may drink a cup of coffee. He's right. His presence is all around us. Amen. He's everywhere. Brother, sister, nephew, you're going to find Him all over the highways with you. Isn't that good? You're going to find Him everywhere. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. We're so blessed. What a good, good, good God that we serve. As my sister was singing that song, or Sister Kayla, let's keep it official, I guess. Where could we go but to the Lord? Where could we go? He's given us so much. I mean, He's lathered it on us. He's spoiled us rotten, church. God has spoiled us. He's given us so many good things. I'm at that place right now with my daughter. I don't want to spoil her rotten, but y'all ladies, y'all make it a little tough on us and the pastor here. But my, when I think of how good God's been good to us, what He gives to us, all I can do is praise Him. Can we do that right now out of our hearts? Can we praise the Lord for His goodness? I know we got a lot going on in our minds, but praise Him for His goodness. He's given you a person. Praise God for the person. Praise God for the place. Praise God for the promise. Praise God for the plan. Praise God for the presence. Just out of your heart right now. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us, for your strength.